Hare Krishna. This morning I received a text message from Anjari Devi Dasi, and she reminded me that today, April the 28th, was 40 years ago, was when I moved into the temple in Montreal and became a full-time devotee. Best thing I ever did in my life. Of course, there are other wonderful events in Krishna consciousness, like initiation, meeting Srila Prabhupada, other wonderful events, taking sannyas. But anyway, up to that time, it was certainly the best thing I'd ever done in this life, many, many lifetimes. It's coincidental that here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, not that I'm in Bhaktivedanta Manor, but I'm not far away, Bhaktivedanta Manor is celebrating the 40th anniversary of the having been gifted the manor and installation of Radha Gokula Nanda. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's visit here for that installation. So they're also having a year full of different events. And it just so happened that I also joined at the same time. As I say that, I'm just remembering that there was a little book, On the Way to Krishna, and the cover of that book was a semi-profile shot of Gokulananda. And I remember I used to just sit and look at that picture. And even then I was chanting japa, I used to look at that picture. And I couldn't believe how beautiful Gokulananda was. Anyway, that was just a sort of side thought. And sun shining here in the UK, although there's some clouds coming, but I remember on that day, which was 1973, and I went back in my calendar. Ooh, boy, it was it took a lot of turning pages to go back to 1973. 40 years is a long time, and I wanted to see what day it was. It was a Saturday. I hadn't remembered what day it was, and it was a Saturday. Very, very nice day. The sun was shining. And my original plan was that I was going to move in on May the 1st. And that was something that I sort of told Vishwakarma, the person who was at that time, Purimashloka was the temple president, Vishwakarma was the vice president, and Gokulananda. These were the three people who were preaching to me. And they were most instrumental in my coming to Krishna consciousness. And so I said, yes, I'll move in on May the 1st. I sort of drew a deadline. And we were living at that time, from about December, we were living up out in the Laurentian, St. Agathe. And which was really far away from Montreal. And more or less, for most of that time, we were just sort of snowbound in this huge, big cottage that I'd rented, me, my wife, and my dog, Angus. And I spent the time there reading, chanting, cooking prasadam. And although when I was living in Montreal, we'd visit the temple for Sunday programs, from over there, we usually came for just festivals or the occasional Sunday. It was a long way away. And when we were already living in Montreal, I was, and that was sometime in the autumn, because then we'd regularly come. I remember once a sannyasi was staying at the temple, I won't mention his name. He's not a sannyasi anymore. And I was very, very inspired. I know some devotees were talking to me about what sannyas meant, and at that time, sannyasis were really held in very, very high esteem in ISKCON. Very, very high. And I remember going home and telling my wife, you know, I think I'd like to become a sannyasi in Krishna consciousness. And then I was telling him what the devotee had told me, that sannyasis don't talk to women, they don't think about women, they don't look at women. And then my wife replied, well, maybe he doesn't look at other women, but he was sure looking a lot at me. And that was sort of one of the two major points of disagreement between myself and my wife in terms of Krishna consciousness. She is a devotee. I don't know what she is since then, but she was a devotee. She liked Krishna. She believed that Krishna was God. She used to make regularly offer all of our food, so there was no issue there. But she didn't want to live inside the temple. She wanted to be what we now call a congregation member. And I wanted to move in the temple. And of course, the other was is that this idea of becoming a sannyasi started to grow more and more, especially when she sort of stuck firm to this idea of not moving into the temple. So, because I'd sort of made this deadline of May the 1st, as it really started to come close to May the 1st, and we were in April, things became very intense and between us. And so the day before or 2 days before, then I told her, listen, this is not doing either of us any good. I'll just go tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, whenever. And and at that point, she said, okay, I'll come too. But I was quite sure that our dynamic or our relationship was such that it would be very difficult, just in general, for me to practice Krishna consciousness, for us to really be Krishna conscious and being together, continuing as husband and wife. And the other was that I still had this idea I wanted to be a sannyasi. So I said, and that was sort of the last straw for her, I said, okay, well, I'm going to move in the temple in Montreal, and you move in the temple in Vancouver, which, if you know Canada, that's like 3,000 miles away on the other side of the country. And so that was it. And the next day, nice sunny day, we drove, gave back the keys to the house, paid off the bills, and drove to Montreal, where I dropped my wife off at my mother-in-law's place. So they used to live in what's called La Salle. And whatever possessions we had, I just left there. I went to the temple with hardly anything. Sleeping bag, coat, what I had in terms of a dhoti. I already used to wear a dhoti at home, inside the house, and so on. Maybe some books. I can't remember all the details what I took, but more or less I left everything to her. I took the car as a gift to the temple. We just sort of split our possessions 50-50. I took the car, and I gave her whatever money and everything else that we had. And I set her up. We had a tape recorder at that time, tape recorders, or at least a tape recorder that I'd been able to buy. That was a real novelty at that time, tape recorders. They were only battery driven. So I remember going and getting a whole bunch of batteries, and then she was listening to, giving her a whole bunch of tapes to listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and my wife-in-law was really, really upset with me. She was a horrible person. She was like the epitome of mother, not wife-in-law, excuse me, mother-in-law, of mother-in-laws. And then I left. It was, of course, it was a different thing to talk about leaving everything behind and leaving everything behind. So it was, I remember it was a very, very exciting drive going to the temple. So much into details, emotional drive. And then when I got there, then someone, I can't remember who, but someone was had greeted me and, I thought you were coming on the first. I said, well, it turned out I came today. Can I move in? And they said, yeah, come on in. So as I mentioned, that was Saturday. That was a Saturday. And then immediately I got shaved up. Or I think they may have asked permission from Uddhava Shloka Prabhu whether they could shave me up. And that was my first experience with razor blades on your head. And the razor blades weren't like they are now. They were just these... they really butchered me up. But I was very happy. And it was only the next day that Uddhava Shloka found out that I'd moved in alone and that my wife didn't come. He was very angry about that because he thought that both of us were moving in. But that wasn't to be. And so that was it. That was the best decision of my life, best day of my life. And even to this very day, I regretted it since, but to this very day, I always recommend to all young devotees, move in the temple. It's become sort of less of a tradition now, unfortunately. But in my opinion, whether it's young devotees, whether it's children of devotees, or devotees just who are coming cold to Krishna consciousness, gurukulis, etc., move in the temple, do at least 2, preferably 5 years of volunteer service, and then if you really feel like you don't want to be a missionary all of your life, then go about finding a place outside. It's a wonderful experience. It's something that you cannot duplicate. Get elsewhere. You cannot replicate it, and it also gives one the opportunity to get the taste of being missionary lifestyle, so that one can actually really then decide, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? I did, and that was also a best decision I ever made. Of course, sometimes devotees argue, well, can a temple really provide security, and better to be a congregation member and maintain the temple rather than be dependent on the temple and depend on, you know, a more secure livelihood in the outside world. I can't get too much into that argument, but just even yesterday I was speaking with one devotee, and I brought up this point of security, and I said, oh, historically speaking, if you study the world situation, is seeing that the world goes bankrupt, countries go bankrupt, businesses go bankrupt, that because of wars, economic situation, plagues, you name it, there are so many ups and downs in the world. But what is it that doesn't go bankrupt? What is it that maintains a very solid presence, a solid physical, economic presence? Churches. Churches. Is there any business that's been around for 2,000 years like the Catholic Church? No. Is there any business that's been around like other institutions? No. And why? Because whatever their beliefs may be, every religion, every church, every religious organization is in their own way trying to bring people close to God. And they are closer to God than countries and businesses and so many other things. And therefore, the Lord is most likely to Yogakshema Bahami Aham, to give protection and shelter to those institutions. That doesn't mean that they don't also experience ups and downs, but they're still around. And there's a lot of big businesses and countries and so many other that aren't around as a result. Why? Because they're not favored by the Lord. And then if that's the case for religious organizations, then what to speak of Krishna consciousness? Anyway, therefore, I always suggest to everyone, move in the temple, learn what surrender is in this way. Of course, there's a lot of different aspects of surrender, but learn what this surrender is, which is recommended in the Vedic system, Brahmachari Guru Kuli Vasudanto Guru Rita, and by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Ladies can also have the opportunity to get that experience, and there may be negative experiences, no doubt, but it's a wonderful experience, and it's a learning experience. So, those were the thoughts this morning, and I just thought I'd share them with you. That was 40 years ago. Best decision of my life. Hare Krishna.